Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 15, Mizmor Tet Vav. Does David and the other psalmists actually speak to God? Or is God actually speaking to David or to us? Is God the author of the Psalms? Now this sounds hard to accept. After all, we've been working with a theory that the psalmist's prayers, poetry, prose, represent the expressions of his innermost thoughts and feelings and outpouring of his emotions. How then can I propose such a seemingly outlandish theory? The truth is, it's not my position, but the position of one of the greatest Jewish philosophers of our history, a man named Sadia Gaon. Sadia Gaon lived in the 9th century. He was a famous philosopher, anti-Karaite polemicist. And a little bit in the 10th century, he's considered by many as the father of Jewish philosophy. His famous work, Emunot V'Deot, Books of Beliefs and Doctrines, is a milestone of Jewish philosophy and literature, trying to bridge the gap between philosophy and science and Jewish law and belief. In addition to his philosophical work, he wrote many commentaries in the Torah and was the leader of the Jewish community in Babylonia, the Gaon of the Great Academy of Sura. He also wrote a commentary on Psalms. And he maintains that all of the Psalms are the voice of God. Wow. By no means it is a reflection of man's prayer to God. Rather, using the concept of Dibra Torah B'Lashon B'nei Adam, the Torah speaks in the words which man can comprehend. The best expression of God is through hearing it from a man's perspective. Now, how far-reaching is Sadia's position? How quickly should we dismiss it? Well, here's a fact. The Book of Psalms is part of the biblical canon. The biblical canon is a collection of prophecies and writings from God or inspired by God. Our sages distinguish between levels of God's presence in the tripartite biblical works. The 5 books of Moses, the Torah, are the actual word of God. The Nevi'im, the books of the prophets, are called prophecies. Ko Amar Hashem, this is the word of God, either through visions or hearing the voice. While the Ketuvim, of which Tehillim is a part, is considered to have been written Beruach HaKodesh with divine inspiration. Now, Rav David Kimchi, a 14th century Provençal biblical exegete, writes in his introduction to Tehillim about the difference between prophecy of the Nevi'im, which comes in the vision or a voice, and the Ruach HaKodesh, which emanates from the recesses of the person and elevates his or her personality, producing words of wisdom, praise, and thanks to their God. Accepting the notion of David writing with divine inspiration, we still must choose between the inspiration of God using the physical vehicle of David, and all of the writers for that matter, to convey his message to the people, or man being inspired with or by his divine essence and espousing his or her own message in this higher state of spirituality. Now, we all opt for the latter position. Sadia opts for the former. But maybe depending on the specific psalm, we will have an easier or more difficult time accepting Sadia's approach. For example, in a psalm which offers prayers from David about his sins, like Psalm 51 or 6 that we've learned already, it's difficult to see this as the voice of God working through David. However, in Psalm 15, we can ask ourselves whether there's some inner logic to Sadia's postulation. After all, what's the nature of Psalm 15? Mizmor le David, Adonai mi yagur ba'ohalecha mi yishkon bahar kochecha. Mizmor to David, or of David. O God, who shall live in your tent? Who shall reside on your holy mountain? Holech tamim foel tzedek v'dover emet bilvavo. He who walks uprightly and acts with justice and speaks truth in his heart. Lo ragalo shanolo aselereo ra'a b'cherpa lanosal kravo. Doesn't slander with his tongue, does evil to his fellow man, or reproaches against his neighbor. Nivze be'inav nimas v'tirei Adonai yechabed nishpal l'harav lo yamir. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those that fear the Lord, swears to his own hurt and changes not. Kaspo lo natam b'neshech, shochad al ki lo lakach, ose eile lo yimot olam. He doesn't put his money out on interest, doesn't take a bribe against the innocent. And he that does these things shall never falter. Now, it says Mizmor le David, something that we read hundreds of times, and we just take it for granted. What does le mean? Le David. Does it mean it is a psalm to David? Or is it a psalm of David? Maybe if it's to David, it's God singing through David, and it's a message for David himself. If it's of David, then maybe it's David who's speaking with Ruach HaKodesh. Now, this is a special genre in Tehillim and in wisdom literature of the who is deserved, who belongs in God's place or on God's mountain. Psalm 15, which asks the question, proceeds to list a series of characteristics worthy of the world or the mountain of God. As we begin to sift through the specific qualities registered as the litmus test for entering the next level, we should ask ourselves, is this the definitive list? Whose list is this? The motivation for this question lies in the specific types of qualities presented. Learning Torah does not rate as an essential trait. During mitzvot, more or less, commandments of God is not recounted. Instead, they are ethical traits. They represent a list of Bein Adam L'Chavero, about how you act towards your fellow man, about equality in the nature of who you are as a person. Let's look at the list. One who walks in simple wholeness or innocence, who acts with justice, speaks truth in their heart, does not slander, doesn't do evil to his friend, doesn't make fun or embarrass, and one who sees a contemptible man as repulsive, but who honors those that fear God, swears even to his own detriment, doesn't lend out money on interest, and doesn't bribe. Is this the definitive word? Now, we have two set of possibilities, if David is the author or if God is the author. Now, to say that David thought up this list as a commentary on his subjective feelings about being deserving of God's praise. If we attribute the psalm to God, then it's subjective. This is a list, not the list, because elsewhere in the Torah, different lists appear, but a list of what God expects from humanity. Now, taking Sadia's stance, we might compare this type of list with other prophecies we read where a humanistic stance is dictated by God. In response to a community which skewed the important balance between ritual and social activities. For example, Isaiah 1 rejects his sacrifices and focuses on social justice. Zechariah 7 focuses on speaking truth and performing kindness and mercy. Sadia's position sounds more convincing on our analysis here. Yet the alternative position is to accept these as the words of David himself, inspired words, but his words nonetheless. The sixth verse psalm poses a question and then spends five verses answering it. Interestingly, the reward here comes in the form of dwelling in your tent, residing in your holy mountain. A similar expression we will find in Psalm 24 when he asks, who will ascend the mountain of God? Now, the first answer, perhaps the symbol of the entire list, is found in the first two words, Holech Tamim. Who walked in Tmimut? Who was Holech Tamim? The answer is in the Torah, Noach and Abraham, very prominently. For Noach, the Torah says, Tamim haya bedoratav et ha'olehim hi talech Noach. Noach walked in purity and innocence before God. And in Abraham, those words exactly are said, hi talech lefanai ve'ye tamim. Walk before me and be tamim. Perhaps the message was that we basically know what righteousness is. Noach, Abraham, the rest is just commentary. He who walks with innocence and straightforwardness, engages in justice, speaks truth in his heart. These are qualities that David has been writing about in the first 14 Psalms we've learned so far. He firmly cares about his fellow man. He's disgusted by doublespeak, deceptive tongues, corruption, but he adulates those who respect God. A surprise comes in the last verse, which brings two actual mitzvot from the Torah, neshech, interest, and shochad, bribery. Yet in the end, all 11 attributes focus on the ethical characteristics of an individual and the responsibility that entails living a life on this earth and functioning in society. The Mizmor comes to respond to the spiritual vacuum described in Psalm 14, as opposed to in Psalm 14, where it says, Ein Oseh Tov, appears twice. There's no one doing. Here, the Psalm concludes with Oseh Eleh, the one who does indeed do good will reap the rewards. And as opposed to Psalm 13, in which an onslaught of enemies prevent him from surviving, and he laments, Sarai yagilu ke'emot, my enemies will rejoice when I falter. David's concluding and comforting words reject that negative attitude, saying, Oseh eleh lo yimot le'olam. one who lives a life of ethics and values, who stands up for good and fights against evil, who treats people with respect and does not abuse the weak, that person will never, ever falter. David is speaking here, but it is not David made of flesh and bones alone, but David who plumbed the depths of his soul and found inspiration within himself, divine inspiration. The combination of David's thoughts and feelings together with divine inspiration produced a beautiful psalm with a timeless message. Shalom.